singing about Jesus. Amen. Brother Danny's going to come say something this morning. Appreciate Brother Danny. You pray the Lord help him. Amen. Come on, brother.
Yeah. Appreciate the opportunity to stand, brag on him.
Yes, sir.
Certainly need the help of the Lord this morning.
Yeah, brother.
Need the help in the flesh. I don't want to stand here just to talk. I pray that whatever I say be a help to the people of God.
God bless
you. Any sinners in the house, that they'd hear the truth. God touch it. Save them.
Yes.
And appreciate those girls singing. It's a blessing.
Yes.
See, that God's put it in the heart of young people around here, Brother Todd. Want to be a part of what God's doing in his house. That's a blessing. Appreciate what Brother Keith said this morning. We've already heard good truth. Thank God for helping him. And it's a blessing. Brother Robert, I was sitting back there where Brother Keith was teaching. Hope y'all get this. I just had this thought come through my mind. And I was just sitting there thinking, said, I really appreciate truth, but I love the truth. You'll get that. He is the truth. And if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't know it. Amen. It certainly wouldn't do nothing for us. You can hear it, but if he don't touch it, amen. If you turn to the book of Ruth, I don't really necessarily have a certain verse. I just have a thought on my heart. But you can open up the book of Ruth, probably read a few verses as we go. Try not to be long. Get out of the way. Let Brother Hyde give us what the Lord give him. I had this on my heart. If you're familiar with the book of Ruth and you've been saved and reading the Bible for very long, you ought to be. Of course, the book starts off, it tells us that Elimelech took his family down to Moab. I'm sure those of us as Bible students were well aware that God said that Moab was his washpot. If you don't know what a washpot was back then, they held it under their hands as somebody poured water over their hands and washed it, and all that filth that come off of them run off into that pot. Every kind of filth and dirt and sin and vileness that was up on the face of the earth was a part of the nation of Moab, Brother Keith. They were a very sinful nation. And of course, they were a product of a sinful relationship, or you know what I mean? I mean, Moab was the son of Lot from that incestuous relationship with his daughter. And God's blessing was not on it from the word go. But it said they left Bethlehem, went down to Moab. And we know Bethlehem means the house of bread. You know, it's hard to imagine that somebody that believes in God would leave the house of blessing and go down to such a place. But sometimes it said there was a famine in the land, Brother Jonathan. Sometimes circumstances will drive us out of the will of God if we're not careful. And you'll always pay for it. We know they paid for it. Elimelech got down there, he died. God took him. Wasn't long after that, tells us that his two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, took wives of the women of Moab. Not long after that, they died. And Naomi was left without her husband, without her sons. She had her two daughter-in-laws. One of them decided to go back to her people and her gods, but Ruth clave to her. Thank God. She told her, she said, wherever you go, I'll go. Amen. I thank God for that, buddy. She followed the light God had put in her life. I know God put Naomi in her life. She followed that light God gave her, Brother Robert. Amen. She said, I'll go where you go. So I'll sojourn where you sojourn. I believe that's what it says. Said, your people will be my people. And the best part said, and your God will be my God. She was on the right track. We know when she got down there, she wound up in Boaz's field, gleaning. I like the part where it tells us where Boaz, first time he laid eyes on her. I believe he loved her right away. He was very interested in her from the first time he saw her. I thought about this as I read that this week, Brother Robert. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, before he ever redeemed us, already loved us? Before he ever went to the cross, before this world was ever created, Jonathan, he already had his heart toward you. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God for that. I can see Christ and the work of Christ in this whole story. I really believe a man, if God give it to him, could probably take a year and preach once a week on the book of Ruth, and he still wouldn't dig it all out. There's just so much there. There's so much there. You can see Christ there. But you look over in chapter 4, and I just want to touch on this a minute, and this is sort of my thought for the morning. It's what God's put in my heart. I don't know who needs it. Might be somebody in here. Hopefully it'll be encouragement to people of God, knowing what God's done for you. Maybe somebody watching by way of the internet. I don't know, but I know what God put in my heart. But you get over in chapter 4. It's where they come to the gate there, and they get together with the elders, Brother Todd. And Boaz is laying it all out there to that nearest kinsman. That nearest kinsman. Now, I won't say this. We know Boaz was next in line. The way things work in this life, we're born in this world a natural man. Is that right? That flesh, that Adam, nature of Adam,
yes.
That's our nearest kinsman in the flesh. I'm not talking about spiritually. I'm not talking about the work of God, Brother Key. I'm talking about in the natural. Brother Key, nobody really knows us like we do. The natural man doesn't love nobody like he loves himself. And in a sense, that flesh, that what comes first, is our nearest kinsman. And they got over and they were talking among the elders, in front of the elders. And he told him, he said, you can buy that land. He'd had to take in Naomi, take in the inheritance of Mahlon and Chilion. And at first he said, I'll redeem it. And then he told him, he said, but you're going to have to take Ruth too. You're going to have to take her to wife and raise up seed, amen, to her husband. And I'm going to tell you what, I got to thinking about this. That's the way that first nature is. As long as he thought it was something in it for him, he was going to get gain, Brother Keith. He was going to get some more land, some more possessions. Didn't mind taking Naomi in, but he didn't want that Moabitess wife. That was a reproach to a Jew to take somebody that was not a Jew. It was. That's just the way they thought. That's the way they believed. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the natural man, it's a reproach to him to think of being in a relationship with Christ. He wants gain. Amen. He wants gain. As long as there's something in it for him in the flesh. Amen. He's all in. People make professions for the wrong reason. Have the wrong motivations. They think there's something in it for them. Well, I'll get my sins forgiven. We'll have to go to hell. Well, we'll throw that against the wall and see if that sticks. I'll get blessings. Some people, you know, they'll tell them, say, oh yeah, you come to Christ, you won't get sick, you'll prosper. All that, throw that against the wall. Let's see if that sticks. I like that. So everything will always go right, and everything in your life, everything will just be hunky-dory. Let's throw that against the wall and see if that sticks. See, when he first said to Boaz, I'll redeem it, then Boaz told him, said, no, you're going to have to take Ruth. You're going to have that relationship, which only comes by the new birth. He didn't want that. He didn't want that. That stopped him dead in his tracks. Said, I cannot redeem it. That's what he said, Brother Keith. For I'll mar my inheritance. Maybe he's afraid he'd lose friends. Maybe there'd be some things that'd come on him that he didn't want to have to face. He didn't want to take that upon him. That was just too much. To him, it was too much. But I believe the Lord was looking down. I believe the Lord looks down on sinners that's in trouble with God. And they'll throw everything up in the air, Brother Robert. I'll change. I'll do the best I can. Hey, I go to church every week. Yeah. Against the wall, it won't stick. I sing in the church. Well, I give. Well, I try to pray. I've tried to do the best I can. God says it ain't enough. That first man can't redeem it. We can't redeem ourselves, Brother Todd. It'll take that second redeemer. He's the only one. See, for that first redeemer, the one that was first in line, it was on him to do it if he could. But he saw he couldn't. Everything for him was about gain. It was about something to do with him. What's in it for me? How am I going to gain from this? But see, for Boaz, it was a matter of love. He was more than willing to do it because of love. And he wanted God's will to be done. See, it was in the law that Redeemer had to redeem someone like that seed might be brought up, children might be brought up in the name of the one that was dead. Is that right? Amen. It was right. That was the will of God. That's what he had commanded for the nation of Israel. Boaz, out of love, wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do it because he loved Ruth. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ, when he hung on that cross, Brother Keith, he done it for love. He did it because he loved me and you and everybody else that's ever been saved down through time and will be saved before the end because of love. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a big difference between love and just personal motivations. I mean, I just ask you this morning, I mean, those of you, I look across here and I suppose most, just about everybody in here probably say they've been saved. Has your motivations for wanting what God has just to get what he can get? I think about that crowd over there. As long as they're getting healed and getting fed, when the Lord divided up the bread and the fish, Brother Keith, they was content. But when he started getting down to brass tacks, started talking about what it really meant to follow him, they turned and followed him no more. They only wanted it because of what was in it for them. They didn't want that relationship. They didn't want that new birth. They didn't want to be changed. They didn't want their life to be turned upside down. They wanted to hang on to what they had in the flesh. How about you this morning? As I was reading through the book, I kept coming back to this one verse. I'll close with this. I've pretty much said what I believe God had me say. Look in chapter 2. Now, I want to just sort of set the scene for you. Boaz had already set everything up for Ruth. He had done told her to glean the field, not to go anywhere else. He commanded his men not to bother. I mean, he'd already laid out everything for her and put everything in place for her to be blessed. And Ruth looked at him, and this is what she said. After all Boaz showed her and promised her, it says, then she fell on her face, verse 10, and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She couldn't understand. She knew the Jew would normally not have anything to do with a Moabitess. I got to looking through a few things and looked at the genealogies and everything this week, Aaron. And I think I'd read this before, but it slipped my mind. Boaz was the son of Salmon, right, who married Rahab. Boaz's mother had been brought in as a Gentile. You say, well, what does that mean? Brother Keith, that shows you how God lays everything in place way ahead of time. I believe that first Redeemer was Elimelech's brother. He was all in the law and no grace. He wouldn't redeem it. I believe because she was a Moabitess and he thought that'd bring shame on him.
Yep.
Amen. But Boaz's own mother had been brought in as a Gentile. That scarlet thread, you know the account.
Yep.
God had already, because of his birth and his situation within his family, had already put in his heart to look upon those people with favor and believe that God could redeem them too.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes,
how about that?
Yes, sir.
God put people in your life, child of God, and put things in their heart because of it that testified to you and prayed for you down through the years before you ever got saved. He already laid the foundation and the groundwork for everything to just fall in place at his word. Amen. I tell you what, if you're a child of God, that ought to cause you to have great thanksgiving to rise up in your heart. But God is in control. God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen. His hand's on it. Even when we don't see it, Brother Robert, his hand's on it, Brother Keith. I'm thankful for the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'm thankful God will open up the Word of God to us, Brother Keith, like you've talked about recently, and let us see things like that and give us a more full understanding of what God has done and just how full of knowledge and mercy and grace he is and how he just puts everything in place. Amen.
Yeah.
What a blessing to be a child of God.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'm thankful this morning.
Amen.
I'm thankful.
Amen.
Y'all know I've went through some physical battles here lately, and it's been a struggle. It really has. But I'm going to tell you what it's done for me, Brother Keith. It's drove me more to the Word of God than I ever have and spent more time in prayer. And I really believe it's drawn me closer to the Lord, and he's helped me. And I'm thankful for that. If that's all I had to endure to get a little closer to him, I say amen to it. Because he'll give me the grace. And I'm thankful for what he does, church. I really am. How about y'all this morning? What's your motivation for wanting to be redeemed? What's your motivation for saying you want to profess Christ? Is it because you think you're going to get something in the flesh or you're going to prosper in the things in the world? Or is it because of love? Because you want a relationship with him and be changed eternally? Amen. I believe that's the question of this morning. Amen. Brother Hyde, that's what